And God's so good. Once again, been a busy week for us. But oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus. Amen. If you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, if you would. And I just got a message the Lord's laid on my heart. Once again, tonight we are not having a normal service in the sense of being here in the sanctuary. But we are going to have our VBS commencement. You're still welcome to come and be a part of that. I think it'll be a blessing to you if you can come. Children are a blessing. They really are. Some may say they're a handful, which is true. I've got two kids and they're a handful, but they are a blessing. Amen. We love them. And I was listening to a sermon here recently from a pastor. A pastor's a pretty big church, and he talks about his love for children there at the church. He said, the church is big enough, they actually have a fountain in the foyer. And he said, as any given Sunday, he said, it ain't too long before one of the kids ends up getting in the fountain in the foyer. And he said, of course, the parents get on the kids. He said, but I'm glad there's some kids here that actually get in the fountain, not in the sense that he wants them to, but he's glad there are kids that are around. Amen. And I'm glad as well. Appreciate the children. Appreciate what God's doing. And God's just so faithful. Amen. I appreciate how you even interact in my own children's life. As I hope we do that for each other as a church. And God's so good. And I want to talk to you this morning. The title of this is The Kingdom and Kids. The Kingdom and Kids. Mark chapter 10. And I just want to share some principles with you here today. And kind of help focus in on what Jesus is saying here in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And it starts there in verse 13, and now I'm going to start reading. And it says, in Mark 10 and 13, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Notice that. Verse 16, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Notice what he says there in verse 15. "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." I want to preach to you this morning with God's help on the kingdom and kids. The kingdom and kids. Let's pray. Lord, we have been blessed this week here at Abundant Life Tabernacle to minister in the lives of many little children. God, I know it can be tiring on us physically. But God, I believe that the spiritual benefit of this, God, is far resounding, far above what we can even imagine. But God, as we watch those children this week, I believe there's a lesson we can learn from them. Childlike faith, God, just the simple belief in what they are told from the Scriptures. God, help us apply that in our own lives to understand the kingdom principles that was presented here to the disciples by these kids. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen and amen. If you were to join any organized group, club, or organization, there's often a list of requirements. Sometimes those lists of requirements are by age. There's sometimes you're too old to join the group, and there's other times you're too young to join the group. Sometimes you've got to be athletic to join the group, and I'm glad I'm not they wouldn't let me in some of those. Sometimes it's based on your gender. There's boys clubs and girls club, boys events and girl events. Sometimes it's based on wealth. But each case deals with the status of a person, the standing of that individual. But here I want to show you something that Jesus does here in the Bible. Here Jesus turns human evaluation upside down, and he makes entry into his kingdom dependent upon none of the great requirements that this world would make this make joining a group a part of. Here what he's doing in this message right here, or in what he's saying to his disciples, he's looking at these children and he's telling his disciples, unless you become like one of those, you will not enter into the kingdom. Now, we are very familiar with these verses about the children, But sometimes we are so familiar with these verses, we can overlook the context in which God, in which Christ is trying to present this message to His disciples. Number one, understand this, what Jesus is saying here when He's looking at these children and making these kingdom proclamations and principles to His disciples. Number one, He wants us to understand this, and I will expound further. The kingdom of God is for the weak, it's for the helpless, and it's for what we would term the unimportant, especially in the eyes of this world. Secondly, He wants us to understand, unless we receive the kingdom on that basis, we will not enter into His blessings. So there's three words I want you to focus on this morning with me. Number one, we are going to talk about the description of the story. We are going to describe what is going on here, the context, and the setting of this. And secondly, what we are going to do, we are going to focus on the instruction that is given by our Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, and then we're going to have a conclusion, but thirdly, we're going to talk about how this applies to your life and my life as well. Let's look firstly here at the description. If your Bibles are open, that could be handy for you as I'm going to be reading the text once again. Notice what's taking place right here. And they brought young children to Him that He should touch them, and His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said unto them, and I will stop right there for the time being. First thing I want you to notice here in this sermon is this. Notice the parents' expectation. I want you to notice that. And their expectation is very understandable. They are bringing their children to Jesus. And can I tell you here today, as a parent, or a grandparent, or anybody that labors in getting children to church, or getting them to vacation Bible school, or driving the van like I did this week, and picking up 10 kids scattered across Newport News and Hampton. Why do we do that? Because I understand it is important that we bring the children to Jesus. Now, we understand what that means in our context, to the church where we're teaching them and preaching to them and expounding to them what the Bible says. So notice here, these parents bring their children. Now, this was very common in the day in my research. They would bring their children to a famous rabbi so that rabbi would bless their children. It was very common within the Jewish culture. It was a very important thing for the parents to do so. It'd be like me if I was a Jewish father and there was an important Jewish teacher. I would bring my children to him and I would request that he would bless my children. But notice here what it says, because as we read the Bible. If Jesus, as I was reading this, it makes me understand that these parents were going to great lengths to bring their children to Him. Some of them may have even traveled great distance to get there so that Jesus would bless their children. I would say to you today, I want you to take this principle and we're going to move forward. I'm glad that we are not living in the time where Jesus is still physically on earth. Now you said, Brother Derek, that sounds a little contradictive. Why do you say that? Do you know how difficult it would be right now for me to get a plane ticket to Israel and to try to take my two babies all the way across the world to stand in line just for Jesus to bless my children? I'm glad to know today that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He has sent the Spirit, and for my children to be blessed, I can come to any given good living church where people believe the truth of the gospel and they can be blessed. I can pray in my living room. I can take my children to Jesus when I'm saying they're nighttime prayers. I'm glad we're not in that dispensation. But that is important. Why is that? I've heard people say before, I wish I lived maybe in the context when Jesus was still walking the earth. Look, it's all right that He's at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to where He is, and I'm excited that now I can go to Jesus anywhere, anytime. Amen. So we look at this, Jesus here in bodily form. They're bringing their babies to Jesus for Jesus to bless their children. But notice the disciples' reaction. We understand it's very unacceptable here. And these grumpy old disciples were rebuking the people for bringing their children. It says that His disciples rebuked those that brought their children or brought them. I look at that and thought to myself, my, look at the irony of that. Here it is. You've got the very disciples who should be a bridge hindrance to Jesus, who are now acting as a barrier to Jesus. These parents are wanting their children to see Jesus, to be blessed by them. And whatever the mentality of the disciples were, maybe they thought Jesus was too busy. I'll tell you, as I study the Bible, really what was happening, children had no status in that society. They thought it was one of those things, children were less unheard or unseen in that context. And I almost see old Peter, big mouth Peter, saying, get these little kids out of here. We don't have time to mess with these babies. Now, how many understand kids can be inconvenient at times in the sense, every morning my kids wake up, they're dependent on me or my wife. Daddy, I want milk. Daddy, I want something to eat. And it's always in the worst time. They're dependent. Solely dependent. They're helpless. They're weak. You have to wipe their noses until they're potty trained. You have to change their diapers. You have to take them to the doctor when they don't want to go to the doctor. You have to, right now I have to brush my daughter's teeth. And she's like, really, we have to? You have to, sweetie. They're dependent. Get me milk. Get me food. And daddy, do this. And I mean, I look sometimes, if you get 30 minutes without a question from a 3-year-old, it's a miracle. Usually something's wrong. 15 minutes of quietness, I'm like, uh-oh. You start looking around. Why is that? They're dependent. So here, these dependent children are coming. And here are these disciples, these grumpy disciples. Instead of acting like a bridge to Jesus, here they are, they're preventing these children from being blessed. They want to send these children and their parents away. Notice the indignation of Jesus, how he saw this as unacceptable. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them. Now the wording here is graphic, and it shows us what Jesus had already pointed out to them. Jesus wants his disciples to know, you should know this by now. I want to bless those that are less fortunate. I want to bless the children. Listen, I read to you from our text today in Mark chapter 10. But look, I'm going to read to you from Mark 9 and 33. Listen to what this says in Mark 9 and 33. And it came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed about among yourselves along the way? Understand, the disciples and Jesus are walking, and Jesus over here walking, and the disciples over there, and he can tell they're bickering about something. What were y'all just talking about? Jesus said. And this is what the Bible says about the disciples. Behold, they held their peace. For by the way, when they were walking, they had disputed among themselves which should be the greatest. They didn't want to talk about that. It's just like my kids sometimes. And once again, it shows you how much we have in common with children at times. We know when our father gets on us. We know when our father's trying to chastise us or make a point. And just like my children at times, you try to get on them. Oh, nothing's wrong. Disciples, he's asking them, what were you talking about? It says they held their peace because they were arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. And notice what this says. And he sat down and he called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, he shall be as the last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken the child in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of the such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever who shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. He said, if you don't receive these children, you don't receive me. In the next chapter, they're running the kids away. Why is it they cannot get the point? Jesus is made to them. He wants to bless even the children. He said, the way you treat the unfortunate and the less fortunate and the brokenhearted and the needy, the truly needy, not the ones that are needy because of bad decisions, but those that really have needs in their life, they are the ones that God accepts and wants to bless. So why is it this week we labor in VBS? Why is it a few times this week, if you're like me, you might have to kneel down and pray a little bit and say, Lord, has it been a busy night last night? Why is that? Why do we do it? Because when we bless children, we are receiving the Lord. The Bible lets us know, don't you enter into the fields of the fatherless. Don't hurt the less fortunate. Don't wound the children. So here, can you imagine this? As these parents come to the disciples and says, can Jesus bless our children? And the disciples respond, no, get these kids out of here. Can you imagine that? But nevertheless, that is the context
of what is presented to us. Why? Because again, children had no status. There was no reason for these children to be there. They should be dismissed. It's much like blind Bartimaeus when Jesus was coming along. He's saying, "Son of David, help me." And everybody's saying, "Blind Bartimaeus, a blind man, he ain't got no money. He can't help himself. He has no status." And everybody's telling blind Bartimaeus to be quiet. But he cried even the louder. Why is that? Because these children, and just like the wounded of that day, had no status in society.
We look at this today, and once again, another parallel is found in chapter 9, because they came to Jesus and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not after us. And we forbade him because he followeth not out and after us." Jesus said, "Forbid him not." Don't stop them. And that's the same wording he's using right here with the disciples that's forbidding these parents and these children to come. He says, "Forbid them not." That's the introduction. Let's notice now the instruction. I'm going to read to you again in verse 14. "And he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So notice right here again the principle. The kingdom belongs to the helpless, the weak, and the unimportant. In our contemporary view of children, it can hinder our ability to grasp what it was like to live in the first century. In America, we treat children like they can do no wrong at times. We have galvanized our children. I'm going to tell you, my daughter don't always tell the truth right now. And I ain't going to sit there and look at you and say, "Look, you know, my daughter's always right." No, she ain't. My son's going to get there. Children are cute and they're cuddly, but they ain't innocent. And if you think kids are innocent, you don't know anything about kids. Now, what do? We raise them. We bring them to Jesus so he will bless them. Our contemporary view often contained the view of the first century. In the first century, children weren't just viewed as this cuddly and wonderful, and we were always going to give them a birthday party every year. We're going to spend $500 to get little Johnny what he wants every Christmas. That's not what it was like in the first century for children. They had absolutely very little status, and even was viewed as an inconvenience at times. That was in the first century. Much different the day in which we live. So let's see the point here that Jesus is making. Let me just make this application and follow me. Is Jesus looking at here and simply saying, "Children are cute and cuddly in the center of the universe, so you should look within yourself and think you're cute and cuddly in the center of the universe"? It's not what he's saying here. Yes, children are cute and cuddly. Once again, we know that. But the projection here, the perspective that Jesus is making here is that children are small. Children are weak. Children are helpless. They are at the bottom of the social order. They do not vote. They do not have a driver's license. They are not asked for advice and important decision making. Once again, they're taken to the physician even if they don't want to go. They are dependent, and that's even what they call them on the taxes when you get your taxes done. Why? Because they take money. They take time. They take effort. Somebody has to watch them. They are weak and they're helpless in that sense. And that's why Jesus said the kingdom belongs to children like this. And unless you are like these little children, you will not enter in. Brother Derek, what are you trying to say today? Hear me right here. Just like children, you are needy. You are helpless. You have things in which you need a Heavenly Father to help you with. So before you look at children and get impatient with them, be careful lest God looks at you and gets impatient with you. We look at kids and say, "My, how needy they are." What if God looked at you and say, "My, they want something else. They need something else." Aren't you glad God didn't like that? God's got more patience than I do. There's times I'm telling you, as a father, you're just like, "Lord, here it is again. Sweetie, what?" Another day, riding down the road, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Chloe, what?" "Don't be mad at me." I said, "What makes you think I'm mad at you?" "Because you said, Chloe, what?" "Daddy." Oh, Sunday mornings at the Jones house, We're getting them dressed. We're feeding them breakfast. We're getting them milk. Make sure everything's ready for Sunday morning. And me and my wife work together. I don't believe listen here, man. You can help your wife with your children. I'm not one of those men that I'll just leave the kids. No, yes. If you're the father, you ought to help out. I've met men before. I ain't going to change a diaper. I'll go next door and get a woman to do it. You're sorry. You can help your wife. Amen? That went over like a pork chop at a Jewish festival. Kid. We can help our wives. Our children are dependent. They are needy. Let's listen to what I would call the hard saying at verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So listen to this. Unless you receive on this basis, you will never enter in. So to receive the kingdom of God depends on your willingness to admit that you are helpless, that you are needy. The reason I came to Jesus is because I was helpless. How did you get into the kingdom, Brother Derek? Did you work your way up in the ladder and finally knock on heaven's door and walk right through? Far from it. I've laid on my face before God and repented of my sins because I was helpless. That's what Jesus wants the disciples to understand right here. To be given the kingdom. That's what he says. Whosoever shall receive the kingdom, it is a gift. And to be given the kingdom, we cannot claim it as a right. You cannot attempt to earn it as a reward. It is a gift to those who have dependent faith. And you must be dependent on God. And God loves it when you're dependent on Him. I believe it makes the heart of God happy when you and I go to Him and say, I can't live a day without you, Jesus. Lord, I can't make it without you. That's right where God wants you. But why is it sometimes as adults and as grown-ups, my children are needy and they don't mind being needy. It don't bother them to be needy. But we get to be grown-ups. Can I help you with that? No, I've got it. Everything's fine. And all of a sudden you're at your wit's end and you get down to pray. And God, I don't have it anymore, Lord. And that's exactly where God wants you to be. He wants you to admit that you don't got it. He wants you to admit that you need His grace. He wants you to admit that you need His word. He wants you to admit. How do I admit that, Brother Derek? By praying, by going to church. A man or a woman who will not pray and not go to church is a prideful person who feels like they got it all figured out. You can make it another day. Not unless God help. God will let you feel like you can do it. Oh yes. God will allow you to feel like you've got it figured out. Just long enough for you to get exhausted and wore out. And all of a sudden you have to say, Heavenly Father, Abba Father. And He'll come in there and help you. Because when He watches you struggle, He looks at you and says, I can handle this if you give it to me. You need to have faith like a child. Kids are dependent. Are you dependent on God? I hope you are. And just in case you are one of those with the S on your chest, super Christian, and you've got it all figured out all the time, let me save you a lot of heartache. Just go to Jesus. We've all done it. We've tried to carry the baggage that was too heavy. We've shouldered the work. We've come in the church and it's hindered our worship. We can't worship because it's just too heavy. And the reason is God don't want you to handle all that, because when your hands are free, you can worship. But when you're carrying the suitcases of life in both hands and you got the backpack on your back of all the cares of life, and you come into church and you're sitting there like this, I've got it, God. I've got it, Lord. I can make it another day. No, no, no. You've got to look to God and say, Lord, you have it. The reason you act like that is because you learned to live that way. That's how kids are. They're not naturally born to try to carry it all. They inherit that as they feel like they know more in life. That's why teenagers look at parents and say, you don't know what you're talking about. The reason they do that, because they get a little bit of knowledge. They looked up something on the internet. Now they know how to live life until they realize there's bills to pay and there's a mortgage and there's a car payment and there's insurance. And all of a sudden we are needy people who need money and a job. But guess what? In life we learn to do that physically. But when you bring that to church, it hurts you spiritually. It hurts you spiritually. There's sometimes God don't even intend for you to carry some things. You ever heard the story about Corrie ten Boom, about her father? the watchmaker. She had a very heavy question for her father one day. Presented that question to her father. And Mr. Ten Boone, who's a very wise man, just anything you've ever read about him, is a very wise man. And the question was very heavy, so he had his suitcase right there and he told his daughter, he said, pick that suitcase up. And I believe it was to go get on the train. She went to pick it up. She said, Dad, that's mighty heavy. I can't carry it. He said, that's why there's sometimes you don't know certain things. When God feels like you're able to carry it, He'll give it to you. Can I tell you in life, there's some things you were never meant to carry. You were done wrong, quit carrying it. Learn to travel light. They tell you that when you get on an airplane, travel lightly. Why is that? Because you can't carry it all with you. Can I tell you on your spiritual journey, learn to travel lightly and let God help you. See, that's the amazing thing about the incarnation of Jesus coming to this earth in the form of a man. When you read the Bible, it isn't about us. And the good news isn't that we can penetrate the barriers of God's majesty and go to where He is. But the good news is this, is that God penetrated our helplessness and our weakness. And it came to where we were so that we could have an advocate and that we could have a high priest and we could have one that could relate with us. That's what He did. It wasn't about us penetrating heaven. He penetrated earth and He came to us. That's the good news of the gospel. Nicodemus, John chapter 3, comes to Jesus and all of his religious credentials. Only to discover how helpless he was to save himself. He was just a religious person. And Jesus says, ye must be born again. It lets us know the entrance into the kingdom is childlike faith. And it's not dependent on if you know everything. You might be here today and say, Brother Dick, I don't understand all that stuff. You don't have to. You need to understand that Jesus is the Lord. He's the King. And He can help you. And you can grow in your faith. So it doesn't depend on if you have everything together. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is. If we mark these as the entrance into the kingdom of God, we are no different than the disciples who's keeping people from getting the blessings of the Lord. Abundant Life Tabernacle, those that are members and faithful here, listen to me. The entrance into the kingdom of God is not a person's pedigree or attire or background. That's not the entrance. There's things that may clean up, and with understanding, they will grow into things. But the entrance is this. You need to come to Jesus in childlike faith and trust Him. So just in case you're one here today, and I've had people tell me this, even my own relatives, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't have it all together yet. I'm letting them know you don't need to be that way. You need to be dependent. Yes. I don't want anybody to come to Abundant Life Tabernacle and feel like they have to have it all together to come to Jesus. Their status ain't right. We don't want that, do we, church? Childlike faith. Start somewhere. And start with being dependent on Him. What's the application? I'm about to close in just a moment. The application is this. A message like this, and I really want you to get my closing points here. It's important. The message is this and this and what we read here about these children. Number one, when Jesus takes these children and said, you must become like one of these to enter the kingdom. That's a very humbling proclamation. Here, because why is that very humbling, Brother Derek? What this passage does, it humbles us from pride. It picks us up from helplessness. Humans like to reign or be in control. We like to present ourselves as strong. Once again, do you need any help? No, I don't need any help. I've got this myself, thank you. We act that way, and once we bring it into the church, and we come to this place that we feel like we got it figured out religiously, we feel like we got it right because of a pedigree or of our strength, you will miss the kingdom of God. But the second point we can gather from this is this, that it welcomes every individual. Because there's some people that look at such a wonderful message that we preach. You can be forgiven from your sins. They look at that and they say, but I hadn't been raised in this. I don't feel like that can't be for me. I'm not worthy. I feel too small. I feel too weak. That's exactly where God wants you. So this message humbles the proud. But it also looks at the weakest person.
and says, come unto me. You say, I don't have much, Brother Derek. Good. Because you don't need much. You may say, Brother Derek, I've messed it all. I've messed it all up. I've lost it all. Well, come to Jesus as a child, and he can help you. So for those that are too proud to receive the gift, humble yourself. God will give it to you. For those who feel too weak to receive such a gift, and they would say, you mean that God would do that for me? I look at you and say, yes, he will. You remember Jesus on the cross? A thief on each side. And here it is. At the beginning, both of them railed on Jesus and accused Jesus. And finally, one of them said, what are we accusing him for? We're guilty. We deserve what we got. He don't deserve this. And then he looks over there and makes one of the boldest requests. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Like a child, needy, dependent. Here you have a naked thief. Study crucifixion. On a cross. Nails in his hands. Nails in his feet. He don't have a degree. He don't have any money. He don't have time to get down off the cross to go buy a lamb, to go to the temple and talk to the high priest and try to get all this figured out. He don't have time for that. But there's one thing he can do. He can look to Jesus. Lord, would you even remember me? And Jesus said, today, because of your childlike request, you will be with me in paradise. Does anybody else get excited about such grace and mercy? You're here today and you may be like that thief. You ain't got it all together. You couldn't. You don't have time. You don't have the ability. Look to Jesus. Does anybody else get excited that there's an ex-convict walking the streets of gold today other than me? Who simply had the ability to say, look, Jesus, I'm like a child. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. Can anybody here today say such a thing? Are we too prideful to ask such a request? Or do you feel too weak or lonely to ask such a request? Just ask him. And he will forgive you of your sins. He will help you in your situation. Mark 10:16, listen to what it says. Then Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Now, this was before cameras, but you know good and well, if there was cameras in that time, Mama would have took a picture. And there'd be a picture beside the bed. And say, who's that? That's Jesus. That's the day he picked you up and blessed you. But there was no cameras. And can you imagine this conversation one day? One day this child grows up. He looks at his mother. And the kid says, Mom, did I ever meet Jesus? And the mom says, oh, yes. He actually held you, touched you, and blessed you. The kid said, really? Why did he do that? Did I do something special? She said, no, he just did it. And the boy looks at his mom. You mean something like a gift? And the mom says, yes, baby. It was a gift. We came to him as dependent people, and he blessed us. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Until we understand this, and please hear me right now, don't worry about anything else. Lunch is fine. We'll be back tonight for commencement. But hear me right now. Unless we understand this principle, you don't understand the gospel. You hear that? If you don't understand this, it's made that children can understand it. Don't come to me with that stuff. It's too complicated, Brother Derek. Stop it right there. Come as a child. If you've been saved for I don't know how many years, I've been saved 10. But any day I get to the place that I overlook this great principle, I don't understand the gospel. And if we don't understand the gospel, then we begin to present the gospel in a way that it should not be presented. How should it be presented? Come to Jesus, whoever you are, wherever you've been. Come and be dependent on him. He will save you, clean you up, put you on the right road. And if you obey him, live his word, and continue to trust in him, you will make it and be fine. I was praying about this message. And my wife and Sister Teresa, what age group was that y'all were teaching? 4 and 5. I read over their memory verses. And I thought to myself, if we could just get this,
If you're here today and you can understand what I'm saying right now, you can be blessed. This week, 4 and 5 year olds learned this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Children learn that. But can I ask you as an adult, can you receive that? If you can't receive that, you need to become as a child. Well, I don't know about that Bible, Brother Derek. It's just right there's the problem. Take your rationalization, throw it out the window, humble yourself to Jesus, and you can say, you know what? I can say this with 4 and 5 year olds. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And me as a 30-year-old man can get shouting happy about that because I believe it. That's the problem. We're too smart. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another. 4 and 5 year olds are being taught this, but can we apply this to our lives as adults? My old pastor, Brother Irvin, said this, and you can take it or leave it. He said, I'd rather take 10 kids on the van than 10 adults. And one day somebody asked him, he said, why is that? He said, because at the end of a week, he said, kids will fist fight and forgive each other in the next 5 minutes. The adults will have a disagreement on where to eat and they won't talk to each other for a month. But how many children, how many adults ain't even kind to one another? Won't even forgive one another? How many spouses won't forgive each other? You understand what I'm saying? Unless you become as a child, you won't even enter into the kingdom of God. Do you understand why? Because you're too smart. I'm always right. I can't be kind. I ain't going to forgive. I'm right. Yes. Yeah. And the kingdom's not for you if you live that way. Humble yourself. Get off the white horse. Come out your palace. Kneel down at the cross and be dependent. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Do you believe that? You may be here today and there's sin in your life. You know you've done things that are wrong. Can I tell you today, if you act as a child in the sense that you believe such a profound saying, Lord, you are good and you're ready to forgive me, God will forgive you if you ask. Lastly, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Unless you become as a child, you will not enter therein. Every head bowed, eye closed.